Welcome to Audio Forge, where timeless tales are reimagined for the year. Tonight, we present our adaptation of Charles Dickens' beloved classic, A Christmas Carol. Settle in and let the winter world of London unfold around you.
London on Christmas Eve. Fog presses against the windows of Ebenezer Scrooge's counting house, where warmth is as scarce as goodwill.
2 shillings 3 pence. Overcharged again.
Mr. Scrooge, sir, might I add a bit more coal to the fire? My candle is nearly out.
Coal? If you are cold, Cratchit, then work faster.
Yes, sir.
An unexpected visitor enters to visit Mr. Scrooge.
A Merry Christmas, Uncle.
What reason have you to be merry? You are poor enough.
What reason have you to be miserable? You are rich enough.
Christmas is humbug.
Christmas is a good time, Uncle. A kind, forgiving, charitable time.
Nonsense! Every fool who goes about with Merry Christmas should be... Good afternoon.
I will keep Christmas, Uncle, and I wish you joy of it.
The door shuts on warmth and laughter as Scrooge returns to his figures.
Yes, enter.
Mr. Scrooge, we are collecting for the poor, who suffer greatly at this festive time.
Many have no food nor fire. We ask those of means to help.
Are there no prisons? Are the workhouses still in operation?
Some would rather die than go there.
If they would rather die, they should do so and decrease the surplus population.
You wish to give nothing?
Nothing. Good day.
The charity visitors leave stunned into silence at his cold refusal.
Noisy little beggars. Singing won't fill their bellies.
As Scrooge walks home, the carolers fade behind him, and the fog closes in. He lifts his eyes to the door knocker, and for a moment sees the face of his long-dead partner, Jacob Marley, staring back at him.
A trick of the light. Nothing more.
Later, Scrooge settles with his meager supper, but the house grows unnaturally still.
What was that?
Who is there?
A spirit draped in chains glides through the doorway.
Ebenezer. Scrooge.
Jacob. No. You are dead.
I am as real as the greed that bound me, Ebenezer. These chains. I forged them in life, link by link and yard by yard.
You were always a good man of business, Jacob.
Mankind was my business. Charity, mercy, kindness, patience. All my business, and I ignored them. You wear a chain of your own, Ebenezer. Heavier than mine, though you do not yet see it. I cannot help you. But there is still a chance and hope for you. 3 spirits will visit you.
Without their lessons, you cannot hope to escape my fate.
Three spirits. I would rather not.
Expect the first when the bell tolls one.
And Marley vanishes, leaving Scrooge shaking. The bell tolls one, and Scrooge wakes to a strange light blooming in his room.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Who speaks? Show yourself.
I am the spirit of Christmas past. Rise and walk with me, Ebenezer.
They stand together in a lonely schoolroom of Scrooge's childhood. A small boy sits alone at his desk.
Do you know this place?
I remember. That boy is me.
You were left alone each Christmas, forgotten by those who should have held you close.
Poor child. I had forgotten how lonely he was. Spirit. I'm an old man. The night is cold.
Next comes Fezziwig's warehouse, bright and filled with simple joy.
Clear away, lads! A Christmas party for all!
Fezziwig had the power to make us happy or unhappy. Such a small cost to him, yet such joy.
Fezziwig opened his heart to you, yet you did not follow his example.
No, I did not.
There are more lessons to learn before the night is over, Ebenezer.
A later memory forms. The young woman stands before the younger Scrooge, her heart quietly breaking.
You fear the world too much, Ebenezer. Another idol has replaced me.
I seek security. For both of us.
Would you seek me now, without fortune? No. You know you would not.
No. I cannot bear this.
At the second stroke, the room transforms into a feast fit for a king.
Welcome, Ebenezer. Come see how bright the world can be.
You must be the spirit of Christmas present.
I am the spirit of Christmas present. Touch my robe and see how others keep this day.
The spirit guided Scrooge away from the bustling streets and lively markets. Soon they stood before a cheerful home filled with light, laughter, and music. It was the home of Scrooge's nephew, Fred.
Fred's house? Why bring me here, spirit? You have shut your door to him for many years, yet he keeps his open to you. Watch, Ebenezer.
The spirit waved his torch, and in an instant, Scrooge found himself at the heart of Fred's Christmas gathering, a lively room filled with games, good humour, and bright company.
A toast, everyone, to Christmas, and to the joy of being together.
Shall we raise a glass to your uncle, Fred? Though he'd likely freeze it solid with one look.
Scrooge would probably scold us for wasting good cheer.
Now, laugh if you must. But I have hope for my uncle yet. He's a difficult man, yes, but not beyond reach. I'll never stop inviting him to Christmas dinner.
You truly mean that?
I do. He's family, and Christmas is the time when we extend kindness, especially to those who need it most.
He still speaks well of me. After all my refusals, your nephew's heart is kind, Ebenezer, and you have underestimated it.
I never thought. I never knew.
Come now, enough of gloomy uncles. Who's ready for the blind man's buff? Or perhaps a round of yes and no?
There is another home I must show you. One whose joys and struggles lie close to the heart of Christmas.
The lively parlour faded from view, replaced by a humble dwelling where warmth came not from wealth, but from love. They stand in the Cratchit home, humble, but full of warmth and hope.
I can manage, Father.
Of course you can, my boy.
Scrooge watches Tiny Tim closely, concern creeping into his heart.
This home is poor in coin, but rich in love.
To Mr. Scrooge, the founder of our feast.
Founder indeed, but for your sake, and for the sake of Christmas. To Mr. Scrooge.
Spirit, will the child live? If these shadows remain unaltered, the child will die.
No. Please say he will be spared.
Do not look away, Scrooge. His fate rests partly in your hands.
At the tolling of the third bell, a silent figure in a dark cloak appears.
You are the ghost of Christmas yet to come. Lead on then. I fear you most.
The spirit leads Scrooge through streets where men speak carelessly of a stranger's death.
He is dead then.
Aye, no one will miss him.
Long as they do not send me the bill.
Who are they speaking of?
At last they reach a lonely graveyard, cold and forgotten.
Before I look, tell me, are these things that must be, or things that might be? Ebenezer Scrooge? No, this cannot be.
I am not the man I was. I will change. Only let me live.
Scrooge wakes with a cry in his own bed on Christmas morning, alive and full of wonder.
I'm alive. Oh, blessed day.
Hello? You there, boy? What day is this?
Why, Christmas Day, sir.
Christmas Day? Then the spirits have done it all in one night. Ha ha. Tell me, lad, do you know the poulterer's on the next street but one? The one with the great prize turkey hanging in the window?
I should hope I do, sir.
Excellent. Go and fetch it for me, and bring back the shopkeeper. There's a shilling in it if you're swift about it.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Scrooge dressed himself in his best, laughing all the while, and hurried down the stairs. For the first time in his life, he felt the world around him was filled with possibility. When he stepped out onto the street, The bells rang above him, and the city seemed to glow with promise.
Oh, what a glorious morning! To think I have lived all these years and never truly seen it.
Two familiar figures emerged from the crowd, those who had called upon Scrooge the previous day.
Mr. Scrooge? A pleasure to see you again, sir.
We hope you enjoyed a pleasant Christmas Eve.
Indeed I did. And I wish to beg your pardons for my earlier conduct and for the hardness of my heart. Allow me to make a contribution to your efforts. A great many back payments are included, I assure you.
My dear Mr. Scrooge, are you quite serious?
If it's not too late, please accept it. And accept my friendship as well.
Sir, this is far more than generous. We do not know what to say.
Say nothing. Come and see me sometime. I would be honored.
Scrooge parted from his new friends and continued down the bustling street, greeting every passerby with a smile and a tip of his hat. As he rounded a corner, he nearly collided with a young couple stepping out of a fine townhouse.
Fred! My dear nephew!
Uncle Scrooge! Is that truly you?
In the flesh, and with more joy than I have felt in years. My boy, may I still accept your kind invitation to Christmas dinner?
Accept it? Why, of course. We would be delighted to have you.
Please do join us. It would mean so much to Fred. And to me.
You give me more than an invitation. You give me hope.
With handshakes, laughter, and a heart overflowing with gratitude, Scrooge walked on. There was still one more home he wished to visit, one filled with warmth, love, and a certain small boy whose future now meant everything to him. Following a morning filled with newfound joy, Scrooge made his way to the humble home of the Cratchit family, a place where warmth grew not from the fire, but from the hearts within.
Mr. Scrooge, of all days, please, come in out of the cold.
If you're certain it's no trouble, Mum. The weather is sharp enough to cut right through my newfound cheer.
Mr. Scrooge, sir. Merry Christmas.
And to you, Bob. And to your whole family.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Scrooge.
Merry Christmas, Tim. I've come to ensure the day finds you all well. Bob. Mrs. Cratchit. Your kindness yesterday shames my former self. I wished to bring a small offering toward your feast and toward better days.
Mr. Scrooge, that is far more generous than we deserve.
Nonsense. Today is a day for generosity. And besides, it's not every day I discover I have a heart. I feel obliged to put it to use before it decides to hide again.
Sir, if your heart keeps growing at this rate, we shall have to let out the walls.
Then let them out, Bob. I've spent decades saving every shilling. It's time I spent a little on structural repairs.
Won't you stay for dinner, Mr. Scrooge? We've made enough to stretch for one more.
You honour me, Mrs. Cratchit. Truly. But I have already accepted an invitation from my nephew Fred. If I break it now, he may never invite me again. And I am very much looking forward to it.
Then we won't stand between you and your cook's redemption, sir.
Redemption? No, Bob. The poor cook is blameless. He's only ever had to season a stone and call it a roast. Tim, my boy, we shall see you strong and well yet. That, I promise.
Thank you, Mr. Scrooge.
And with a final shake of hands and a heart full to the brim, Scrooge stepped back into the bright Christmas day, carrying with him the joy of a home far richer than his own. Scrooge walked on through the bright Christmas morning, feeling as though the very air were new made. He kept his promise, not only in spirit, but in action, for early the next day he was at his office before Bob Cratchit, who arrived a full 18 minutes late, breathless and apologising. Scrooge greeted him with what appeared to be terrible severity, only to break into laughter and offer him a raise that nearly knocked the man off his feet. Scrooge vowed to assist the Cratchit family in every way he could, and to Tiny Tim, whose gentle courage had pierced his heart, he became like a second father. In the years that followed, Scrooge's name became a byword for kindness and good cheer. He kept Christmas as well as any man alive, and not only on the 25th of December, but through every day that followed. May we each learn from his change of heart, and keep Christmas in our own ways, with generosity, compassion, and joy. As Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us, everyone.
Thank you for listening to this Audio Forge adaptation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. May its message of kindness and renewal stay with you long after the final notes fade. We hope you'll join us again soon for more stories brought to life through sound. Until next time, we wish you peace, warmth, and a very Merry Christmas.